Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast, your premier farming podcast on the internet. With me here today is our roaming reporter, Emma.
That's me. Hello everyone.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm very excited for this one because we sort of talked about doing it and, you know,
wait,
from another episode. And now we're doing it.
Are you going to tell me we followed through on something we said?
Yes. Like, well, we have plans to do more road trips and things in the future. But obviously, we're a little bit prohibited with that at the moment. But so I, you know, the plan was to hopefully go together, but I ditched you and I went by myself. Yay!
Yay!
We did. I did message you while I was there.
That's true. Yeah, I was very jealous as soon as you got there because you were, like, sending me pictures of little Germany and then of Millie and the farm.
Yes, I should say. So I recently went to South Australia for a conference. So in May 2021, I went to a conference in South Australia. And Millie, who was on our episode number 24, a real-life farmer's wife.
What an episode.
Well, it is by far our most popular episode. Thank you, Caniva. Shout out to the town of Caniva who have really...
Hey, Caniva. It's us.
Really
nice to see you again.
That podcast go far. Yeah, so Millie came on and told us about what it's like living on a farm, and they have a huge sheep property, 5,000 sheep, over 5,000. I always say it wrong. Travel, correct me. Hectares or acres. It's a lot of land. It's huge. And actually, their property goes over the South Australian-Victorian border. So we drove out from Adelaide to a place called Border Town, very aptly named.
Yep, no confusion.
So that's in South Australia, and then went into Surbiston, which is in Victoria, where they live. And we went and stayed a couple nights, my husband Matt and my little boy Finn, and we stayed with Millie and Trav and their beautiful three kids.
Nice.
It was wonderful. I'm going to do a shout out, actually, to at Aussie Nerd Farmer on Instagram. I met him at the Rump and Red dinner. So Millie messaged me and said, actually, one of the nights we were there, there was like this local fundraiser at the Caniva Football Club and didn't want to go till it was a real country shindig. And I was like, hell yes, I want to go.
Yeehaw!
And red, you know, being wine, I was like, you are speaking my language. So we went, and yes, on our table was Jonathan, the Aussie nerd farmer, and he was like, oh, you're the podcast person. Oh, yeah. I was like, kind of famous. He's like, I listen to the podcast in my tractor. I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. And I've now been awesome. In one of those tractors, so that's...
I have a question.
Mm.
As an Aussie nerd farmer, how long does a nerd take to grow?
Jonathan, please write back to that and let us know. The nerd farming is that he's into... they use data and tech to grow healthy and nutritious grain.
I would love to do an episode on farming... technology. I think it's amazing. These are GPS and like calculating stuff.
Oh yeah, the tractor was like next level. Like we are actually going to listen to us in the tractor, which is pretty exciting. There's like screens.
Wow, pretty exciting stuff here, folks. Listen to Emma inside a tractor.
No,
you gotta sell it.
I am selling it, and you're like putting it down. Shush. You're just jealous because you didn't get to go in the tractor, okay? It was awesome. Yes. The wheels were bigger than me. Amazing. It was super fun. We left our baby with Millie. Like, you got this, right? You got three. Just another one. You're right. He was sleeping in the car. She's like, I got it. Looking at him through the window. it was fine. The window, you know, the window was open. It's fine, guys. And then we went in the tractor and, we were snuggled up. There's not a lot of room, so we all piled in and Trav told us all about, and we got to, like, you know, tractory some rows in the ground.
Okay, nevertheless, if Jonathan is listening, let us know, jump on the podcast and tell us about nerdy tractor farming.
You've been officially invited. The offer.
Did you invite him at the dinner? You could have given him a couple of wines and plied him with fame and glory.
I think he just really liked to come. He is a regular listener and listens in his tractor. So please, Jonathan, on that note, email us or write in the group if you listen somewhere really interesting. Derek showed us that he was like on the tarmac where he was listening, and he also told us on episode 60 that he likes to listen while gardening.
In a way, so does Jonathan.
Just really, really, really big gardening that provides food for lots of people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, so we went out there. It was about a 3.5-hour drive from Adelaide. Really pretty, really interesting countryside. It's like this area where there was like boulders and very dry. Bushy, and stopped at a little cafe on the way back and just felt very country-esque, and it was really nice. And we went to Trav's parents' house as well, which was really lovely because Millie talked a lot about them, her in-laws, and how much they'd welcomed her when she was living there originally.
That's right.
I got to meet Kenny, the horse.
Oh, wow. Get him on the podcast.
I think you might hear some from him on a video. I'll try and get that. So Finn met his first horse. Kenny was the first horse. So that was kind of cool. He was beautiful. went out in our PJs and some gum boots from the front, and walked up to see Kenny. He came over to say hello. He's beautiful, very friendly. They had a lunatic farm cat who was running around tackling the dog. They have a three-legged dog who is hilarious and gorgeous.
Huh.
Three-legged, and he's a working dog. He does the rounding up of the sheep.
Sounds like he's working extra hard.
He is. He's so fast on those three legs. He was, running around all over the place.
Is he missing a front leg or a back leg?
Back leg.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened in an accident.
Mm.
But he's good. He's amazing. He's very adaptable.
Maybe we can do a combined episode with the horse and the dog.
Maybe we'll just ask Millie to speak for him. But I, was really delighted that Trav let me interview him and ask about what a farmer's life is like. And it's a big farm, and he's a lifelong farmer, really. So, it's been in the family for years. So it was really lovely to talk. And, I did take little videos while I was there. And we tried a cake. We had this cake, which is apparently, like, super famous, and people, like, couldn't believe that we didn't know it, and they were, like, outraged. It's like some chocolate biscuits. Aren't it? Yeah, so here we go. I've typed into my phone chocolate, and it's straight away come up because I obviously searched it at the time. Chocolate ripple biscuit cake. Have you heard of it?
No. What?
So it's these biscuits that are Arnott's. Arnott's is an Australian, famous Australian brand. Anybody who's Australian is listening, they're like, duh, they're the best. Like Tim Tams are Arnott's. So there you go.
We could do an episode on the questionable quality of Australian chocolate.
And what's your favourite biscuit? Because people are very, very polarised and very fixated on which one's their favorite. But anyway,
can I just, my favorite is Monty. I don't know if they exist anymore, but Monte they were just Carlos? Like a plain, no, just Monty. It was like a biscuit with chocolate around it, and you could do the Tim Tam move where you suck milk through it. But I like the simplicity. Why overcomplicate? It doesn't need layers.
Okay. We've obviously got you on a topic here, so maybe we'll have a biscuit episode. Since we're getting, you know, we've just got like heaps of countries still to cover, but we're deciding to go real, real specific with our episode.
Tractors, animals, and biscuits.
And tall buildings. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Or might have been. We don't know. Chocolate ripple cake is you take these chocolate ripple biscuits and you layer them with cream in the middle. So you biscuit, cream, and like whipped cream, I should say. And you like put it into a cake tin and then you put it in the fridge and it sort of soaks and then you eat it. There's no cooking.
I believe like a good glug of Grand Marnier or some sort of liqueur inside the biscuits. You're basically making tiramisu.
Yeah, but this one was for kids, so they didn't put any alcohol. But anyway, I feel like it's more of a Victorian thing. But then I told someone else and they were like, what? You didn't have that? And I don't know if it's maybe because my parents are English, but I don't even think I've ever seen those biscuits in the shops. I haven't since been to Coles or Woolies to investigate. But, yeah, it's people are real passionate about it. Anyway, delicious. Matt loved it. I think he had some for breakfast too.
Well, there you go.
So that was, it was a real weird highlight of the trip.
Yeah. People are putting Baileys in it. Okay. I'm not alone in thinking that soaking these biscuits in alcohol beforehand would really help.
But Millie wasn't, as expected, a phenomenal host. Just they had this gorgeous house. Like they had a fire. It was a bit, you know, it was May, so it was coming into winter. It was kind of a lovely time to go. A bit dry for them. They were coming into the rainy season and the rains were a bit late, so that kind of messes them about a bit. So we were happy for the drier weather, but they would have really loved to have rain around that time. And yeah, it was just really nice. We only stayed two nights. Planning to go back with our good friend Catherine, who gets mentioned a lot on this podcast.
Simo.
So we will have to do a third episode on the farm life. Like we're just really tapping to this audience. And we might get Kat onto that one. If not, the Carrying Bar High reunion episode. She will definitely be there.
Oh, that could be a fun episode. I didn't know we had that planned.
No, that's when we're going to Carrying Bar High. So Millie sent us the most beautiful email about our one-year anniversary episode because she's just wonderful and a lovely listener. And shout out to you, Millie. I'm sure this episode's about your husband. You better be listening. and you're in it a lot.
Episode is about us introducing the episode.
Next time, we will actually play the episode.
Sorry, you were saying something lovely about the wonderful Millie.
Yeah, she sent us a beautiful email and she said she can't wait for I said it was going to be maybe our 200th episode and that we would go to Carrying Bar High to record it. And she said, I'll see you there.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll have like a panel and we'll have guests and we'll go for 5 hours and then Darius will have to edit it and then there'll be a big job. Oh, God,
please no.
No, the event will go for longer. The actual recording, we will try to be good people and keep it tight. So
maybe we can get some teachers on as well. Do any of them still exist? I feel
like this episode is definitely going to be like about us. Well, you know, it's the origins. It's the origin episode.
It is?
Well, it's our origins. That's where we met.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because there's a couple of teachers I don't want on the show unless I have the opportunity to publicly humiliate them.
No, we really digressed here. So we're going to come back to the topic. Is there anything else you'd like to know about my time in Surbiton before we listen to my time in Surbiton?
I feel like you will have glossed over this in the episode. So just for immersion, what colour was the tractor?
Green. No, I don't know. Nice.
Oh my God.
In my head, it's green. Look, the photos are right here. I really should look. I have a folder called Farm Visit with Millie so that I can review it.
Organized.
Organized. The, It's so far from green, it's red. And there is a photo of Lovely Travels Instagram of this giant.
Coming soon, a colorblind episode.
It's red and black and then has this big, like, containery thing, which is white. And then at the back, it's got this, like, crazy ass, like, or, like, spider octopusy looking contraption, which is the actual and thing that digs up the ground.
What noise did it make?
It's very loud. So it was,
just give it a shot.
I don't know. It just sounds okay. Like background noise.
Well, let's get into it.
but no, the back thing, it looks like something out of... Shut up. It looks like something out of that movie with Tom Cruise where the War of the
Minority
Worlds.
Minority Report?
Oh. No, where those big giant things came down to Earth.
Oh, it's actually... War of the Worlds is a great audio book. Maybe we could recreate said audio book and you do the sound effects.
I didn't like it. Dad was listening to it in the car and he was like, "Is this great?" And I was like, "It's creepy and it's weird and I don't like it." Apparently when it first happened, people thought it was real.
Yeah, they played it on the radio and people thought it was like the news.
Yeah, it's creepy. Look, oh, so good. Trav in the tractor. So much fun. Anyway, this is not a visual medium. I'm just showing Darius my photos while we're recording. Very excited to go back and look at all these wonderful photos. Wonderful photos, I believe, and videos of our time on the sheep farm with Trav and Millie Carter, the real life farmer people. Let's listen.
Real life farmer people. Let's get into it.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Trav. Can you tell me a little bit about you to start?
Oh, well. Thanks for having me. I'm a farmer. Live in the country, obviously, like live on the farm that my family's lived on for multiple generations. So I suppose some people might feel like they, had to take on their family job, but farming's not like that for me. Like, I've just always loved it and it's just what I've always wanted to do. So I feel it's a pleasure being able to, work on the farm and be outside working the land each day.
Yeah. And we got a bit of a summary from your lovely wife, Millie, who was on our episode 24 talking about she's a real life farmer's wife. So you're in Surbiton. We're in Surbiton, Victoria.
That's right.
Which is on the border of South Australia, but your property actually is in both.
Yeah, so we've got our farm sort of scattered over a few blocks, but we've got land on both sides of the border, which was a bit painful during the middle of COVID. But, prior to last year, it was, the border really meant nothing. It was just a line on a map. But, last year it was quite difficult, but we're sort of moving past that now. And
now I kept saying to people when we were coming that you had 5,000 sheep, but you have 5,000 acres.
And about 5,000 sheep.
Okay, cool. That was right.
Yeah.
So like one sheep per acre.
Yeah, roughly, but obviously there's a lot of crop involved. So the sheep are on the parts that the crops aren't growing on, and all the cropping and the sheep work together. In a rotation, and that's how it works.
Yeah, it was pretty fun today because we got to see rolling out the hay bale for the sheep, but they don't always get the hay. They sometimes just feed off the land.
Oh, sheepies. Look.
Oh, it's feeding time. Hey.
Yeah, so our rainfall is very seasonal. We get a lot of rain in the middle of winter, and after we get a lot of rain, we get a lot of grass growing. So during spring, we've got more feed than what the sheep could ever eat. And then we get a hot, dry summer, all the grass dies. We harvest our grain crops, but we've also, in the spring, we harvest our hay as well. And then in the autumn, it's just normally quite dry and there's no real feed in the paddock. So we feed the hay and grain, some of the hay and grain that we grow back to the sheep, as well as obviously selling grain. So that's one of the main jobs we're doing at this time of year, is feeding sheep as well as planting the crops for the new season coming.
And so we were on the tractor today, which was very fun for us, like mega tractor, because I think sometimes you sort of picture those little green and yellow sort of chug-a-lug sort of tractors. This is...
Oh, there's big green and yellow ones too. Like,
oh, yeah. This one was a beast though. Like, the wheels are bigger than me, taller than me, I'd say.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, and then it had this like crazy octopus spider War of the Worlds looking device on the back.
Yeah, that's the air seeder used for sowing the crop.
Yeah.
So what actually puts the seeds in the ground.
Yeah, and so it was, yeah, so, yeah, I'm doing my terrible non-farmy language. So you were, as we're driving along the tractor, the claws-like thing are sort of digging up the soil.
Yeah, so the tines are basically just scratching into the surface of the soil at the right depth for the seed to drop in, and the seeds are covered by the dirt with the machine as it goes along as well. And so at the moment, because we are having quite a dry autumn, we would have preferred to have had rain a few weeks ago, but it hasn't rained yet, which is that's okay. But so we're dry sowing, putting seed into the soil, which won't actually grow until we get a decent rain, like around 25 mils would be a good start. So at the moment we're just sowing pastures, which will be paddocks for the sheep to graze, but also possibly hay crops, hay and silage crops. And turn that fan on now.
All the farm cats trying to get in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The house cat is trying to get in the house. There's two farm cats as well. So
yeah, that's organic mice control.
And you are an organic farm, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual in our area. Like, there's not many organic farmers around, but it's something that we feel passionate about and like doing. So, yeah, that's what we do.
And so the organic part, is that just the seed, just the lentils and the chickpeas?
No, so basically we're an organic grain business. So we grow a variety of organic grains, everything from wheat, barley, oats, spelt, chickpeas, lentils.
I'm glad you said that, because when you're saying grain, I'm like, yeah, what is that?
But
there's so many, aren't there?
And most of our land is certified organic. We have a little bit which is not, but it's sort of predominantly just used for grazing sheep or growing sheep feed. Most of our sheep are not certified, just because there's not a big market for organic wool. We do a few organic lambs as well. It's something my dad's been doing for a long time.
Yep.
And, yeah, we just... continuing on and enjoy growing food without chemicals. So
that's really awesome. I think. Do you think that that's growing, that industry?
It's the popularity of organic food is certainly growing. Like, the demand is there. Being able to grow enough food to satisfy the demand is a challenge. But we're always looking to increase our production, and we are gradually, like I said, part of our farm wasn't certified organic, and over recent years we've been gradually transitioning more and more area into organic.
And I think you said production. Today it takes 3 years.
Yeah, so there's a transition period, so you just can't go from...
today we're organic.
Yeah, spraying chemicals one day and then claiming to be organic the next. So there's quite a stringent changeover period where you basically have to follow organic practices for a 3-year period before you can sell your product as fully certified organic.
Yep.
So that's what we do.
That's cool. And so what's the most popular sort of grain is it that you...
Well, I suppose the lentils and the chickpeas are probably the most popular, but also probably the hardest to grow.
Okay.
So things like wheat, barley and oats are fairly low risk. They're a fairly reliable crop. If you happen to get a drought, you still generally get something. And weed control is not as big an issue. Like, they compete better with weeds.
Yep.
So crops like lentils, which are short, they don't grow very tall. Grass weeds are a major issue without using herbicides. So we rely on cultivation and having weed-free pastures prior to sowing our grain crops to control the weeds.
And so today you'd said there was barley there before. What were we planting today?
So today we were in a paddock that was a barley crop last year, which was harvested for grain, which has been sold to an organic dairy for organic milk. And this year we're sowing vetch and clover. So we're sowing a legume pasture into that paddock, which will be used for grazing the sheep, and then it'll be locked up later on. Well, the sheep will be kept out of that paddock and made into hay, hopefully, if we get enough spring rain. So we'll store, keep that hay to feed back to our sheep as well.
There's a lot of learning, and there's a lot of, like, I think that's what, you know, my husband Matt's here with me, and he was really impressed by one, you know, not the machinery that you use, but there's a lot of like technology now used with it, with the machinery, but also like how much you have to understand, like you have to understand the weather, you have to understand, you know, the plant conditions.
Yeah, farmer, you would say, is a jack of all trades and master of none. Like, we're just bush cockies trying to have a, you know, we know a bit about most things, but we're not really experts. But
I think you play that down a lot, though. Like hearing you talk to, you know, it's just such a different world.
Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, we need to understand soil chemistry, biology. You know, there's a lot of different
animal care
systems that we, you know, everything works together. So it's not the sort of thing that you can just jump in and out of. Like, it's a lifelong learned career, and I guess I'm fortunate to have been brought up on a farm and I suppose been learning along the way, but yeah, we're learning new things all the time as well, like, you know.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
Well, yes, and especially with the like organic coming and people wanting to farm in different ways and more sustainably, because that was one of my questions today. I remember seeing an Australian story about this guy over in WA who'd sort of helped the land to replenish because the livestock had just been trampling it. So that's thing about moving your, you know, having your grain sometimes and having your animals in different areas.
Yeah, like you need to treat your soil differently depending on what soil type you have and, you know, how different ecosystems are more fragile than others. So, you know, we try and farm in a way which is improving the soil, regenerating the soil. But regenerative agriculture is a bit of a buzzword at the moment. But I think every farmer is trying to do what's best for their farm.
Yeah.
We think not using chemicals is the best way. Some of our my neighbours and best friends farm with chemicals and they think that's the best way.
You know.
So we're all just doing the best and growing the best food we can with the information that we've got. So
it's super important in Australia. Agriculture is still our leading industry, isn't it? Is our, you know, our exports.
Well, I don't know the figures. I suppose mining's pretty major, but one thing I do know is people don't go very well without eating food. So, yeah, whether it's the biggest in financial terms, it's definitely one of the most important.
Oh, 100%. And, we have land. That's what, you know, we need to take care of.
Yeah, and like Australia grows, organic or not, I think Australia grows some of the best food in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, we import some rubbish and we export a lot of really good quality food.
Yes.
So I think it is important that Australians support their local farmers and try to buy Australian, and in doing so they'll be buying a premium product for themselves anyway. So
Albus, get down.
The cat's currently on the bench.
Yeah. You go, fun life, animals in the house, animals out the house. No, it's lovely to meet your parents today and to see the sense of community. And I had the pleasure of going to an event last night with the local footy club and getting to talk to some other farmers. And, you know, I think you all, from the people that I've met, you're very humble and have played it down, but you do an amazing job. And, like, it's pretty hard to fathom 5,000 acres. And we saw quite a lot of sheep today, but, like, nothing compared to what you have.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I think every farmer just loves farming. We all like talking about farming and showing people what we do. So, yeah, like, we try to work hard, but it's not hard when we love what we do. So,
Beautiful. You're definitely passionate, and it's been really beautiful to experience. And if you'll have us, we will be back.
Yep. We more love... than welcome anytime.
we've also invited all of our listeners, I hope you know. So if you get people popping in from around the world.
One spare bedroom. There's plenty of paddock space if you bring a tent.
Woohoo! Farm festival. No. Thank you for your time, Trav. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
So thank you again to Trav for joining me on this episode. It was really lovely, and it was very impromptu. We just set it up in the lounge room of their beautiful farm home, and I asked him questions, about the day we'd had, and, you know, following on from the episode we had with Millie. And honestly, you know, you can hear he's such a humble guy, but these farmers, they do so much more than, you know, just care for animals or plant crops. There's a lot that goes into it, and they're full business people. You know, they're having to have relationships with all the provider, the producer. Like, they're the producers, having the wholesalers, having the local community organisations and industry bodies that they check in with. And yeah, it's a whole, you know, the whole reason we wanted to do this episode. It's a world that many of us don't really know about. So it was just a really lovely experience, and I look forward to visiting again, as I've talked about. And I just wanted to share a few extra clips of our time there, including meeting the infamous Kenny from the first episode with Millie. Here it is.
Hi, Kenny.
Oh,
wow. Look, friends. Oh, I know.
So you can hear, a bit windy, and yes, my son wasn't super stoked to be out there, but it was so awesome to see that beautiful horse. And maybe another time I'll get to jump on and with a little bit more time out there. And I mentioned in our intro, very gorgeous little adorable daughter of Trav and Millie, their little girl Lottie, and she had this just beautiful way of talking about animals, and one of them was the sheep. And so when we first got to the property, the family property, which is where Trav's parents lived, this is what we heard from Little Miss. Again, it's quite windy. Super cute. That's just so sweet. And then while we were out feeding the sheep, which, you know, it was so exciting. I wish I could have got a little bit more commentary about it, but I think I was just a bit too excited and overwhelmed. There were a lot of sheep, and I did ask whether they attack. I'm not scared of them, but you know, when animals are in feeling defensive, they can sometimes be aggressive. So I was just mindful of that. But anyway, just don't worry, guys. The sheep weren't aggressive, but yeah, there were a lot of them. So I was mindful and was kind of concentrating on that. But Trav did tell me a little bit more about some of the mother sheep and their lambs.
The sheep, which are not great mums, they just run straight to the feed and forget about their lambs when they spend the rest of the day trying to refine them.
Oh,
she's being like, that's just what you want them to do. Just, once the lamb's bigger, it'll be fine. For, you know, she can go away from it, it'll be able to find her again. But when they're really small, you just want her to stay with it and just mother up. And
before long, it was time for us to leave, and felt quite sad leaving the farm, but we were off on our next adventure, and this was us saying goodbye. Finn, we're off again on a road trip. We're going to Adelaide Hills. Oh, boring, apparently. Okay, bye, farm. Thanks for having us. Let's go. So a little bit of a, I guess, what's coming next, not next episode, but will be coming. I will be doing an episode on South Australia talking about our most recent trip, but I've had the pleasure of actually visiting quite a few times. And, you know, because obviously I'm an Australian and I'm currently based and sort of for the foreseeable future, I'm in Australia. And so, and I think quite a bit of our audience is Australian at the moment. I'd love to see more internationals. We do have internationals. Thank you so much for joining in our Lovely Travels community in the Facebook group. It's awesome to see you there. And please share with your friends. We'd love to get to more countries, at least vicariously through the podcast for now. So, but I'd really love to showcase Australia and showcase some of the places that I've been. It's really wonderful to see people out there visiting new places that they've never been before, or getting to see a little bit more of their own backyard. I think we've got some, my cousin Francis is out on a road trip at the moment. I've got friends up in one of our popular guests, Danielle Fyland. She's up in the Northern Territory in the Kimberley, sort of crossing into WA on a trip as well. And my in-laws have just been in Broome and across the Kimberley as well. So Broome's in top of WA, and exploring a little bit in the Northern Territory as well. I started out in Darwin. And yeah, I've just been looking up retreats and things, top tips if you've got any retreats in Australia or unique stays. I'm really looking to explore unique stays and places a little bit off the beaten track. And quite a few of the retreats I was looking up were in places that I've already visited. Maybe it's just highlighting how much I've already visited in Australia, which is lovely, but just trying to get to some new and different places. So please do share. But yes, we'll have a South Australia episode coming soon, and we'll probably work our way around the states of Australia. And then we might even go a bit more minute, and we'll end up going to visit the cities of Australia as well. So if you would like to contribute at all, please do send us an email. If you'd like to come on the podcast and you've got something to share, info@lovelytravels.com. Check us out. The website is lovelytravels.com. Instagram, love hearing from you. Tag us with your photos, #lovelytravels. And the Instagram is @lovelytravels. And of course, I've already mentioned the Facebook group and then our Facebook page. It's super simple. We tell you every week, but again, just Lovely Travels on Facebook. So thank you for listening. Look forward to seeing you again next time, and take care and safe travels, whether they be near or far.